Welcome to the Girl Next Door podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Erica. In every episode, we bring our different perspectives to honest, funny conversations that feel like chatting with good friends.
We started this show years ago when we were next door neighbors and still haven't run out of things to talk and laugh about yet. Today, we have the second episode in our two-part family culture series. Last week, we talked about creating family culture through quality time. That's the fun side of family culture, at least often. Today, we're talking about maybe the less fun side, dealing with hard stuff. There are challenges in every family, from marital disagreements to challenging kid behavior. Plus, we'll talk about finding comfort within our families when the world feels heavy. We thought that looking at these things as how you handle them in your family culture could be helpful and interesting. So Let's dive in.
Okay.
Let's start with what sounds like a basic question, but it's an important one. How do you even recognize that you have some kind of a challenge within your family that should be addressed? Like, how do you separate that from just the everyday hard work of raising kids? And what systems or structures do you have to address those challenges?
I love this question. I can find this particularly hard. I think when things just feel hard in general because of a developmental stage that your kids are at, or, you know, external circumstances like job stress or lack of sleep or whatever it might be, it's very hard to differentiate between a totally normal hard developmental stage and like a red flag, right?
Yes.
Some sort of problem that needs to be addressed. Or maybe it's not that the stage or the kid or the behavior or whatever it is, it is the problem, but the way you're dealing with it is truly not working. And so that's very hard to you know, parse out as a parent,
yes.
I think.
I think so too. And it's just such a moving target.
Yeah, totally. So I think one of the best ways, honestly, that has helped me get some perspective on this is just talking to other moms, especially with kids, my own kids' ages or a little bit ahead of me in the game, because I just feel like you can get so in your head about specific things happening within your own family and like, surely this is an issue.
Right.
And then you're like, oh no, my kid does that too. Oh, my kid does that too.
Yes.
And it's not that, you know, there aren't some things you need to put in place to have a strategy for dealing with that, but it helps you just get that perspective of, is this a major problem or is this fairly normal?
Yes.
So that is a big help. Obviously, you know, books that talk about especially developmental things with kids, I think can be very helpful with that. But for me, like one red flag to know that this needs to be addressed in a different way somehow is just how it's affecting everyone's quality of life, including maybe the kid who's having a hard time, you know, the parents, if it's causing a lot of marital conflict. I feel like if it's affecting everybody's ability to function and be generally content, that it needs to be addressed. And honestly, that can look like a lot of things. Like I said, maybe you just need to have a sit down conversation with that kid or with your spouse about how you're handling it, or you need to call in some support. Maybe it's an issue of like, I don't have time for all this. I need to get a house cleaner or what, you know, whatever. It could just be that like, it's all too much. So looking at that, and I think therapy is an excellent way to sort that
out.
What could I use? What is a tool available to me? They can help you just see a problem for a problem sometimes. I think sometimes we get used to dealing with certain things and we're like, oh, this is just how they are.
Yes.
Or this is how our marriage is. And a therapist can be like, you know, maybe let me push back on that a little bit. And so I think it just helps you get that outside perspective.
Yes, definitely. I agree with all of that. For me, I think I'm pretty good at noticing patterns. And the other thing about me is that I hate inefficiency. And so if I notice that I'm like correcting a kid behavior over and over again, or for a particular time of day or transition or routine repeatedly feels hard, that just like sends up red flags.
Like, we got to do something.
Yes. And just in a way where I'm like, I have no tolerance for this. There must be a better way. And so I think a lot of times that will kind of be something that signals to me is like that repetitive, just feeling that friction. Usually having a conversation with Chris always really helps, because then it can be like, are you noticing this too? Is it also frustrating for you? And that kind of helps give the perspective too of, is it kind of my personality that I'm bringing mm-hmm. to this, because I want things to be so rigid in this certain way, mm-hmm. and maybe I need to have a bit more flexibility? Or is it something that, like, yeah, I think maybe we could do some things or need to kind of address this behavior in some kind of a way? So that really helps. Definitely the talking to friends,
yes.
comparing yes. notes. There was just something that I was talking to someone else about, some kind of toddler behavior, and they were sharing about these just like, oh, these big meltdowns or whatever. And I was just like, that is spot on
yeah.
to Maeve, about like with such specificity. I yeah. really thought that was more like her particular brand of
right.
toddlerness.
Right.
And it was like, okay, it really is a common mm-hmm. experience. So that just always really helps. In terms of systems and structure, we try to be really open in terms of communicating with our kids about like maybe expectations, like rules, consequences, whatever, and want them to know that we'll be open with them, but not so much in a way, but still maintaining that, but we are in charge.
Right.
You know,
right.
you don't get to necessarily say what the system is, but there are some
times. You have input.
Yes, that's right. There is some times that you will get to have input. We are working towards establishing regular family meetings, mm-hmm. which I talked about as one of my goals this year. And that has been a great place, like a great neutral place mm-hmm. to kind of bring things up. Like
outside the heat of the moment.
Yes, exactly. And I hope that over time that will continue to be a place where, you know, the kids could bring something up, or just we could really foster kind of those mm-hmm. family discussions. Like that's where Chris and I can say, hey, we've been noticing this kind of behavior, and so we're going to implement these kinds of changes. Or like,
tell me more about how you run a family meeting.
Okay.
At this stage.
It is still very in its infancy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I almost don't feel qualified to give you advice, but basically I'll just kind of have in my mind like, ooh, we should try to have a family meeting this week. I had said initially that I wanted to try to have them when Maeve wasn't present, but a lot of times if just family dinner is like fairly calm, I'll just kind of feel like, you know what, this is probably just a time.
Oh, okay.
And so yeah. it's that informal. And really the main thing that needs to happen right now a lot of times is just kind of scheduling things. Mm-hmm. The boys are starting to become more attuned to like, you didn't tell us that was coming up, mm-hmm. like whatever mm-hmm. it is. So we'll try to do that.
So like agenda, business items,
exactly.
if you will.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Kind of, yes. Scheduling, whatnot. We have a couple of times tried to have a little section that is appreciation and apology.
Oh, I like that.
I queried good friend Sarah Powers.
I love this.
They do family meetings, and this is borrowed from her family meeting agenda.
Sarah, yes, genius.
I know.
See, other moms a little bit ahead of you are the key.
Yes, they really are. Golden advice. And so that has gone well. Not that not everyone has to participate, yeah, but yeah. it's just like, now is the time.
Yes.
Chris and I try to lead by example of, yeah. you know, sharing an apology or an appreciation.
I love that.
And then honestly, I feel like those are like the two main points.
And
I
then
feel
like anything else you want to talk, like yeah. open mic a little bit after
yeah.
that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe so, you know, that. More recently we have a spring break trip coming up. So I just kind of said like, hey, what would make the vacation really fun for you? Just kind of be thinking about mm-hmm. that. So just it giving a space for those invitations of like, you have input,
yeah.
things like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, over time I could see, I had talked with Chris. We have kind of like some family values. Mm-hmm. Chris actually made us this thing, a canvas for Christmas, and wrote some family Aww. Values. It's in there. So I'm pointing back to it. And I thought that maybe eventually we could work towards like having a family, like spotlight family value. At
yeah.
different...
like maybe how we've seen this show up
yeah,
lately.
Yeah, exactly. Like let's like talk about curiosity mm-hmm. and what we think that means and why it's one of our family mm-hmm. values. So anyway, we're just at the beginning,
but I like this.
I have grand
I like this
plans.
Informality.
I mean,
this.
I feel like your girls would and their personalities would
yes,
be great ages, great
so
personalities
too.
For something like that.
And I think
like
we
that.
Do it like as needed, like, okay, but
right.
it's usually more disciplinary in
right.
nature. Like, hey,
yeah.
we've been noticing this mm-hmm. thing. And so it's like a problem to solve versus
yes.
just opening it up a little bit more for the good and the bad
yeah.
and the logistics and
yes.
all of that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So that is kind of a forum that we have to communicate those things. I would say sometimes some kind of a challenge is related to kids, but not so much about what they're doing, but kind of like how to best just manage our routine, or honestly my approach to it, or how I'm feeling mm-hmm. through something, kind of like the dinner time rush and craziness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of only so much you can do maybe about the kids' behavior, but maybe I need to kind of think about, are there ways we can kind of shake up how this is happening? What are Chris and I doing at the time? Do we need to better support each other? Mm-hmm. Just kind of things like that. Basically, I feel like the moral is take a step back, yeah. try to see a pattern, have conversations with your spouse, with friends, and from there, try making adjustments and then just keep iterating and hopefully working towards something that feels yeah. better.
I love that.
When it comes to challenging behavior from your kids, how do you handle that in your family? And maybe if either of us can think of any specific examples of hard behavior we've dealt with, we will share those.
Okay. I just have a very general thought about this, and it's something I've been trying to keep in mind, because I can tend to view everything as a problem to fix, mm-hmm. right? Including kid behavior or a phase that they're in or whatever. And so I tend to be like a little too harsh on that end of things. But I think another thing that happens is we think sometimes, like, because a kid behavior is normal for their age or what, you know, given the circumstances, we also think that means we just have to blindly accept it. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a happy medium between that too. Just because it's normal doesn't mean it doesn't need to be addressed or worked through. Doesn't mean that it's not a learning moment for, like, this is normal for this age, but this is also the age how we learn.
Right.
You know, where we learn to work through that, right. or where we learn that we don't do that in polite society or whatever right. it might be. So I think that it doesn't have to be this all or nothing. Like, I either fix this and squash it mm-hmm. or I just, oh, well, throw my hands up. This right. is just how toddlers are. This yes. is how tweens are, whatever it is. So I had heard somebody put it this way before, like, just because you can explain a behavior doesn't mean you have to accept the behavior. Mm. But the explanation helps you react calmly.
Gotcha.
Understanding and coming at it from that perspective. And then you're able to work with the child or whoever right. it is, even in an adult relationship, mm-hmm. right? Just because you can explain someone's, you know, behavior because of trauma or whatever does not mean that you have to accept that. And right. I think it's the same in a family. So keeping that balance of understanding where mm-hmm. somebody's coming from and then working toward what you would like to see or what is, you know, going to be healthier for them and for your family mm-hmm. is important. That's mm-hmm. just kind of my general. Now, I am not great at this.
I know.
Like I said, I err on the side of squash it, nip it in the bud. Yes. Absolutely not. Instead of like, hey, that's normal for her right. age. And that can keep me calm while I remember that mm-hmm. and we have a conversation about yes. it. You know what I mean? So
it is so hard. In stepping back, it does feel easy to articulate kind of our parenting approaches and how we want to handle things. But in the day-to-day and in the moment, mm-hmm. it can just be, I mean, you're getting triggered,
yeah.
you know, or emotionally triggered or something, and then just figuring out, well, is this the behavior that warrants this reaction right. or this calm reaction? It can just be very confusing.
In therapy, I have talked to a therapist before where she said, you know, I think what happens so often when you're triggered as a parent, especially a new parent or an especially stressful time, you start to treat everything like a crisis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And your reaction is like that. Your consequences are like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you start to act like everything's an emergency, right. but it's really because you are triggered.
Gotcha.
And it's not that those behaviors are going to stop being triggering, mm-hmm. but if you can keep that in your mind that, like, this is normal, here's how I want to approach it, yeah. or get yourself like a template for how you want to deal
gotcha.
With tantrums, mm-hmm. how you want to deal with disrespect, whatever mm-hmm. it might be, that helps you feel like you have a toolbox.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. Well, kind of going along with that, an insight that Chris had over this past year that I have been keeping in mind is just that in the course of a totally normal, fine day, the fabric of the day is just going to include these ups and downs.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I feel like we were kind of getting to a point where every sibling squabble just felt like a crisis because
right.
it felt like we have talked about it. We have talked about using that tone. We have talked about stopping when he asks you to stop. Mm-hmm. And we were just feeling like such broken records. It made it feel like,
right. Nothing is working.
Yes. And yeah. this is just happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And ever since Chris had that insight, not that we have put it into practice to perfection, but I have really tried to think about that, yeah, every day your kids are going to have some misbehavior, some sibling squabbles, mm-hmm. need some reminding.
And that's their job.
Yeah.
That's literally their job right now, is to figure the world out that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is just fine. Like, I think I almost felt like, oh, maybe other families aren't having this be part of their weekends. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just having these pleasant weekends. Mm-hmm. And here I am feeling like I'm dealing with all these tumultuous emotions mm-hmm. and stuff. And then I had to just step back. I think I can sometimes have these kind of unrealistic expectations, yeah, even though I don't mean to. I mm-hmm. mean to have realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm. I think they're reasonable at the moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, yeah, really having to step back and just kind of check my own reactions and expectations mm-hmm. and just realize, no, this is still a great day. Yeah, mm-hmm. we had some sibling squabbles. We had some toddler meltdowns. That's a great day with a 10 mm-hmm. to a 3-year-old.
You know what I found is like a really helpful tool for that? I think I learned this in a teacher training one time in dealing with some difficult student behavior, is if there's something like that where it's like every day, this just reminded me and I need this right now. So I'm so glad you said that. But if there's something that's like every day they're going to do like, and mm-hmm. every time it happens, you're like, oh, here we go again. In right. your head, that's kind of,
yep.
instead of that, you can tell yourself, I knew they were going to do that.
Oh.
And like almost like give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
And give yourself the like, oh, I'm so smart. I totally knew that. I've got this. Like I'm ahead of this. This is totally how they're going to react.
Interesting.
And almost like you're not looking for the negative, but you're expecting that that's a part of the something that you're going to have to deal with in the day. Instead of everything feeling like a surprise.
Yes.
You know, because you do know. You mm-hmm. do know that your toddler is going to have a meltdown mm-hmm. one at least every mm-hmm. day. You do know that your tween is going to roll their eyes. Mm-hmm. You know those things. And so you can just say, oh, I knew that.
Oh,
I got this.
I like that.
And I've forgotten about that till you just said like when things keep coming up and they feel so like invasive, mm-hmm. you know.
So let's both try to put that into
practice. I like that. All right.
I knew they were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say overall, what I hope that we are coming across as loving but firm with our kids. And I do think that firm boundaries are really good for kids. I feel confident that we have created a loving home environment and parenting culture. But honestly, sometimes I think the firmness might be what's harder for mm-hmm. us. And I feel like lately we've been trying to figure out where that line is.
Right.
Like I think often we're more likely to say, hey, it's not okay to speak to us in that kind of a tone and kind of have a correction like that, but not necessarily assign a consequence
right.
for that.
Right.
And I find that to be this kind of tricky, muddy gray area.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of examples of kind of challenging behaviors that I have to share. The first one is about disrespectful tones, which I feel like we get to varying degrees from the boys. Sometimes Maeve is trying to act big and, you know, she'll be, maybe I've said before, oh, fine.
Right.
And it's just adorable on her, but I see where it's headed.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is tricky because I want my kids to feel like they can express disappointment.
Yes.
You know, it's not like you have to fall in line no matter what I say. Mm-hmm. But that's a tricky line between expressing, you know, the disappointment mm-hmm. to turning disrespectful.
Right.
And
it
kind of depends.
To weaponizing said disappointment, right?
And so I find that really tricky. And also even having that template of like, what's okay, even to be able, we try to have very clear expectations. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the expectation is this. If you don't do this, this is, you know, the consequence. And that feels so tricky. And in the moment too, trying to check my own, you know, reaction mm-hmm. of wanting to enforce an objective boundary versus being punitive in the moment.
Right. Exactly.
So I just
hard.
Find that
No,
really
and I
hard.
Find it hard on the opposite end of that coin. I think that everything needs to be immediately responded to in a like no nonsense mm-hmm. way. But sometimes they really are just expressing themselves. Right. And it's like, no, they haven't actually tipped over into disrespect at that point. And Jeremiah is a little bit better with that, where he's like, well, were they being disrespectful or were they just disappointed?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Like I squashed it too soon kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. So that's tricky. So that mm-hmm. is still, we're still kind of figuring that mm-hmm. out. And that is probably just something you continue to maybe just kind of navigate. The other challenging behavior that I wanted to share is on screen time. And we have recently made some bigger changes in our household. And we do have an episode later this year all about kids updating and screen time. So we are going to get into it. But Chris and I were just noticing that the boys could play video games for hours on the weekends when they were allowed screen time. And that is not what we ever intended to happen. And it was kind of a situation where, like, wait a minute, how did we get here? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't what
like you kind of maybe thought it would self-regulate a little bit and then it didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And somehow just like the creep kept happening.
Exactly.
So, you know, Chris and I talked about it kind of like I said, I felt like we were noticing that. We had some good conversations. We talked about ways that we wanted to impose some new structure. And I will say I felt nervous to impose limits, fearing the wrath of my children.
Yeah.
I think that's somewhere where I can kind of get hesitant to enforce some things.
Yeah, like I don't want to deal with the fallout. Yes.
And I actually, we got together at the perfect timing and you were very helpful and were reminding me that I'm the parent.
You are.
I get to decide.
You can help me be nicer.
That's right.
I can help you be firmer.
Exactly. And so how we rolled this out, you know, like I said, Chris and I had talked about it. We decided to roll it out. And we, I think you helped me come up with keeping it actually more casual rather than like, okay, big screen time
big talk
discussion
we need to have.
Exactly. We just over dinner, it was kind of like, hey, we've been noticing with screen time kind of these behaviors. This is when you're doing it. We're gonna impose some new limits. Here's what it's gonna be. I've got some cookies. Does anyone want to bake cookies for dinner?
Like just it's not like, up for discussion.
Yeah, and just rolling it right into the next thing. You know, we let them say a few things, but honestly,
but it's not like saying it's not like you drop it and then like look at them nervously. Like.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's very much like you present the confidence.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
Exactly. And I think too, like they can sense that. And if they sense that you're not 100% firm, they will find and
they
push
will find the loophole.
So anyway, and there has been some pushback, but we have felt so confident, Chris and I, and on the same page about what the limits are.
Yeah.
And I know that it's for good reason.
Yeah.
And that helps me stand firm.
And you've like reined it back into where it feels like something that matches your family's culture and priorities now. And you are in charge of that as the parent. So that's good.
Exactly. So yeah, those are kind of two examples that I wanted to share. Okay, the challenges we've talked about so far are all coming from within the family. It's like the call was coming from inside the house.
Which has plenty of challenges.
But now let's talk about what we do in our families to find comfort and connection when the outside world feels heavy, whether that's a kid maybe, you know, getting picked on, having issues at school, losing a loved one, sad world events. So what do you do in your family?
Okay, so I have really worked hard on... And I think I'm better with this in terms of things outside the house than I am with things inside the house, of resisting the urge to fix and treating everything like a problem. There are times where you just need to be there and focus on presence, whether that's they're having a hard time with a friend, you know, some other job stress with your spouse or some like physical things. Like I talked about last week that we had a whole week of sickness and whatever. But it reminded me even in that moment, there's nothing to fix here. Mm-hmm. Like I can't fix it for them and they're not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. It just needs my presence. It just needs me to listen more than I talk, which is hard for me. Talk for a living and a hobby at this point. But I think even when I do talk, I try to just give a relevant example, like maybe a time I felt that same way as a kid, and they can and kind of normalize that for them. I'm, like I said, better about doing that when it's something external, because I feel like we kind of, you know, rally the troops and circle the wagons and like we're in this together. And we tend to really emphasize a lot in our household anyways, like the team aspect of a family and togetherness in terms of everything from chores to like, you know, we've always got each other's back kind of a thing. Even with things in the world, I think just making sure that they feel safe and things are predictable as possible at home is huge. And honestly, homeschool has been good for this too, because it gives me an avenue to kind of talk about these things in even some more academic ways, like relate current events to what we're learning about. And they feel, I don't know, in some ways it feels more approachable that way, especially just the way my kids' personalities work. I would highly recommend a couple of resources for current events for kids. Like CNN 10 is on YouTube, and it's just a 10-minute newscast specifically for middle and high school age, where they kind of recap, you know, much like the daily news brief that Sarah and Beth do on Pantsuit Politics, but it's for kids. It's a mixture of like honest but limited detail information about, you know, hard things going on in the world, but also gives them a place to like, you know, they'll hear those things. They'll hear our news. They'll hear something about something happening with other kids. And then it gives them like an opening to ask more questions about it, or to know like, yeah, this thing is happening. Here's the factual information about it. And then it's always like, there's always something positive or fun in there too. The other thing we do is get This Week Junior.
Yes,
that's what it's called.
The Week.
The Week Junior.
We've started getting that too. It is fantastic.
And they love it. It opens up so many conversations, and we don't do anything formal with it. We just get it, and they're excited to get mail, and they end up showing us different articles or whatever. And I think those are some really good ways. But just being as honest as possible and approaching things and saying you don't know when you don't know if something is hard going on in the world. I don't know, but I know we're together. I don't know, but I know that we will always do what we can to keep you safe or whatever. But don't BS kids, because they see through it. Like you said, even with the, you know, trying to set a firm boundary, they see a weakness like a dog smells fear. Like they get it. So just be as honest as you possibly can be.
Yeah.
That's my approach.
I love that. What I think about a lot right now is that I really want to have the kind of family culture where our kids know that no matter what, no matter what happens, we can figure out a problem together. And I try to tell them that in lots of different ways and really emphasize that, you know, no matter what it is, we can figure it out together. I want to emphasize that now because as they get older, get bigger and have bigger problems, they failed a test, they did something really mean to a friend, whatever big
ways
they're at a party
and there's things happening that they don't
know
how to deal with. Yeah.
I just want them to know that they can always come to us, that we will fix the problem first. And, you know, they don't have to fear just getting in trouble, whatever it is.
Just for being honest.
Yes. And I tell them that too about like, if you ever hear about a friend who's going through a hard time, like, and it sounds like they can't tell their parents or whatever, I want them to feel like they can bring any kid who needs support and a loving place here. We will figure it out.
Yeah.
So I really try to emphasize that. Kind of part of that, and something I want to do maybe a little bit more as our boys are getting older, is to remember to share, you know, appropriately when Chris or I are, you know, having a hard time or going through something sad or something, just to normalize that life is going to have ups and downs and that our family is a place where we find comfort and support. And having them see, and they've seen this a couple of times, like if Chris or I have a hard day, they are part of what's comforting to us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that can be really empowering
to
a kid.
Like, oh, I just need a hug.
Yeah, exactly. I've read some anecdotes before about like teenagers messing up, you know, like coming home drunk or, you know, something like that, which could be a very serious and scary thing. And parents first reacting like in comfort instead of anger. Like, I just remember reading a particular like anecdote where, you know, a girl came home, you know, whatever. And it wasn't like a, it was like super dangerous situation, and just saying that like her dad made her an egg sandwich and instead of reacting, you know, like in anger and all that, just like took care of her
physical body.
Yes, exactly. And so I hope that I can approach things in that way, or that my kids will have that feeling. This is also part of why having a cozy, comfortable home is really important to me. Like, I want home to physically feel comforting and like a soft, safe place to land for my kids. And then finally, I think having family rituals, even the simple ones like dinner together, the movie nights, you know, that we bake cookies together, going on walks, just those things over time create that comfort and connection that just go a long way during those hard seasons that you can rely on, or just that you've built up that connection that's just going to go a long way. So, okay, for our bonus question for friends of the show, We are going to talk about when we aren't feeling on the same page with our husbands, because that can set the tone for the whole family. We both have great marriages and work hard at them, and we have quite a few episodes about marriage that we will link to, but even great marriages have friction from time to time. Mm-hmm. So over on Patreon, we will be answering the question, what's most likely to cause friction in your marriage and how do you address it? So join us over on Patreon to chat about the episode and hear our answers to that question. Let's close with doing some latelys, where we each share what's going on lately. What's your lately?
Okay, this is just a funny story about my dog.
Love it.
So I have noticed that Kaya, our miniature Labradoodle, the most recent addition to the Ladd family, loves TV.
Really?
Like we'll watch a whole show.
Oh my gosh.
And she is
a Ladd.
Yeah, like she especially loves if any kind of animal is on the TV. She will like practically dive at the TV. And I've had this experience where I'm like folding laundry or something in my room and the TV is a little bit lower. It's not on the wall, but it's like on a stand in our room. And I'll be watching one of my YouTube cleaning videos that I love, like the clean with me's, and someone will have a pet like kind of coming in and out of the frame. And especially if it's like on time lapse where it's a little quick, you know, sped up, she will see that cat and it will go off the screen one direction. And then she will be looking for it behind the TV
as if it's that cat.
Yeah. As if it's, and she will sit there and wait for it to appear again. It is just the funniest thing. We've watched, like we've put a couple of shows on intentionally, like about wolves or about whatever. And she is riveted. Like she cannot look away. And it's the cutest thing. So that's all.
Very funny.
My dog loves TV.
Oh, Kaya. My lately is that I have been doing some spring gardening, feeling very springy.
It is springy here in the desert.
It is. It is our best time. Spring here, late February into March. We are starting to feel it. So I enjoyed this past weekend putting in some plants in some garden beds that have sat very empty.
Okay.
And dead for a long time. I'm not putting in any vegetables at this point, but I'm hoping to work my way towards a vegetable garden. I'm starting to feel like maybe I have enough bandwidth in my life to keep some like extra plants alive.
To be like externally gardening, not just the house plants in the house.
Exactly. So summer is definitely the hard part. You know, it can be great, but then heading into May, June, July is when things go south. But I am very much hoping to keep my plants alive this summer.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We would love to hear your thoughts on how your family culture intersects with hard stuff. Mm. Tell us on Instagram. We are Hi Girls Next Door. And we love to get your emails at higirlsnextdoor@gmail.com. The show notes for this episode with links for everything we talked about are at our website, girlnextdoorpodcast.com, which remember is newly renovated and looking shiny.
So pretty over there.
Please come check it out.
Thanks so much for dropping in. Until next time, friends, remember, the kids can smell fear.
Little hummingbird outside my window.
Shadow.
Oh,
that was very lovely.
How lovely.
You just go to bed because you're done with the day. Like you can't handle one more thing that the day has to bring.
Just this day has to end now.
Okay, what's our relevant topical send-off?
The something about sensing fear.
Oh yeah, kids can smell fear.
That's right.
Remember, kids can smell fear.
Yes, there you go.